A recent poll by the Pew Research Center says Mitt Romney's religion will cost him support in the Republican presidential primaries because many white evangelical Protestants don't view the Mormon religion as a Christian faith. But religion has clearly played a key role in his personal and professional lives. For more than a decade, Romney was an influential leader in The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the Boston area. In our continuing series about his experience here, which we call Romney's Roots in Massachusetts, WBUR's Monica Brady Meyerov this morning explains how his role in the church shaped him.
Mitt Romney no longer regularly attends Sunday services at the Belmont Meeting House, but his presence is still felt. One reminder, the beautiful pipe organ, which his large donation helped buy. Romney currently doesn't hold any leadership positions in the church as he runs for president, but he's believed to be a Mormon in good standing, which means he gives the church 10% of his pre-tax income, which is millions of dollars over the years. He also doesn't drink or smoke, and thus probably has a Temple Recommend card in his wallet. The card has a barcode that allows him entry to any Mormon temple. Even though faith and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints play a fundamental role in his life, Romney rarely mentions it. Recently, he spoke to an Iowa radio host.
My religion is for me and how I live my life.
For 15 years, Romney was in charge of the spiritual and sometimes practical needs of thousands of Mormons in the Boston area. Church members say he led with patience, built teams to solve problems, and showed deep compassion, characteristics that would make a good president. But Robert Draper, a New York Times reporter following Romney, says you won't see these traits on the campaign trail.
You do get a sense that this man is largely a gentle soul, that he's decent. He's never rude. But what you don't get a sense is of his ability to be compassionate on this one-on-one basis.
Romney oversaw the LDS Church in Boston at a time of great growth and challenges. Soon after he became bishop in 1981, at the age of 34, the new meeting house in Belmont mysteriously burned down.
The building was almost completed in
Grant Bennett, a Mormon who served as bishop after Romney, stands outside the Belmont meeting house.
Where the organ is. The building caught fire late one night and burned from the front of the chapel down towards the back of the building. Essentially, everything that you see right here was destroyed. But
the fire department said the fire was of suspicious origins, but it was never declared arson. But Mormons in the area say there was an undercurrent of religious bigotry. There was also an outpouring of support from many congregations who called Bishop Romney and invited him to hold services in their buildings. Romney saw this as an opportunity to build bridges, says Bennett, and took up the offers.
We actually met in the Catholic St. Joseph's Church for a couple of months. We met in the Armenian Church for a couple of months, and we met in the Plymouth Congregational Church for a couple of months.
Still, Mitt Romney played a key role in coping with anti-Mormon sentiment when it bubbled to the surface again about 10 years later, after the church announced plans to build a large temple at the top of Belmont Hill. Scott Ferson, who's not a Mormon but lives in Belmont, volunteered to help the church with PR during the controversy over the temple. He says the temple shows how well-respected Romney is in the church.
To have it selected for this Belmont site, really right in Mitt Romney's backyard, leads one to believe that he was instrumental in its location.
The fight between the LDS Church and some members of the town over the size and height of the steeple continued for years in zoning board meetings and in court. Romney was involved behind the scenes, says Clayton Christensen, a fellow Mormon and a professor at Harvard Business School.
I remember at a meeting Mitt saying, you know, I could be a force for good or I might be a lightning rod. So he gave us good advice, but then he kind of stepped to the side and let others take the heat.
Behind closed doors, Romney was very diplomatic, says Ferson.
He knew that they were going to be able to achieve what they were if they were more accommodating. And I think he was very patient. I think that's probably a good skill for Middle East peace, you know, being patient.
Patience won out. The temple was built with one spire topped by a gold Moroni angel. It's sometimes called Mitt's Temple by people in Belmont. To understand Mitt Romney is to understand the tenets of the Mormon Church, which he clearly demonstrates in his character. Service and teamwork are two central themes. As bishop, he organized the all-volunteer network of the church and was elevated to what's called stake president, giving him oversight of about a dozen congregations. It's too much work for one person who also has a job and family, so Ron Scott, a journalist, distant cousin, and biographer of Romney, says Romney always had a strong team.
It's almost a spiritual representation of what you learn in business school. The more you can involve the team, the more you can engage the team, the better the team functions, the more likely it is you're to achieve. You get that fairly early in Mormonism. This is really Mormonism 101.
The bishop doesn't give sermons during church services. They're given by members. But they are a spiritual beacon of sorts, counseling church members on problems with employment, drug addiction, and relationships. And as bishop, Romney seemed to sense when somebody needed a boost, says his friend Christensen.
This was like 8:30 one night.
Christensen says when he and his wife were feeling overwhelmed by their church duties, three kids under the age of five, and a new house and job, he heard a knock at the door.
And Mitt Romney knocks on the door and said, "Can I come in?" He said, "I was driving home, and I just had a feeling that God has a message for you. And he can't get to you directly because you're too tired. But the message is that God loves you and that he's happy with what you're doing for other people."
Christensen tears up again at the memory. Many other Mormons tell similar stories of how Romney helped them, but there are a few detractors. Scott, Romney's biographer, says a woman in Romney's congregation told him Romney tried to persuade her not to have an abortion, even though she had a life-threatening condition. Her doctor and the Mormon stake president, a church position above Bishop Romney, had already advised her to get an abortion.
Into the picture walked Mitt, and he took a fairly aggressive stand, which was carry the baby to term. People have seen that as being a sign of a fairly heartless, imperious kind of guy. Or was he simply just being overly zealous in the way he was trying to lead and to provide moral counsel to someone in his charge, counsel that was consistent with what he perceived to be the teachings of his church?
Romney's counseling provides a window into his complicated stance on abortion. As a Mormon, it shows he's opposed to it. But when he was governor, he supported a woman's right to choose. Now, as a Republican presidential candidate, he is squarely anti-abortion. As leader of the LDS Church in Belmont, Romney's compassion, patience, and teamwork were focused primarily on other Mormons. That might explain why church members know a different side of him than he's been able to show on the campaign trail, where he's frequently seen as smug and distant. His friend Clayton Christensen says maybe that's because people perceive Romney as being born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
And I think that people look at how handsome he is, how articulate he is, and you say, he has an experienced life. And, oh my gosh, I think he has experienced a more difficult side of life.
The difficult side he saw as a counselor to troubled church members. Romney's challenge will be tapping into what he learned as a Mormon church leader without drawing too much attention to his religion. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Monica Brady-Meyerhoff.